السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستهديه وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most forgiving, most merciful. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of entire creation. Complete blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the masterpiece who brought to us all this goodness and who receives a reward for every single action of goodness of ours, because we've only been taught it by him having been sent to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all his companions, and may he truly bless every single one of us and grant us all forms of goodness and protect us from every evil. And over and above that, may he make our progeny also from amongst those who are blessed. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners, we are in the month of Ramadan, drawing to the end of Ramadan. In that we have already completed half of this month, and as we have all noticed and witnessed, the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he says, "Yataqarabu zamanu," is very, very easily felt. Yataqarabu zamanu, meaning as time passes, it will pass quicker and quicker. The hadith continues to say so much so that a year will pass as a month, and a month will pass as a week, and a week will pass as a day, and a day will pass as an hour will pass as a minute, and so on. This Ramadan was the quickest so far, we all know that. Last Ramadan, when we were passing it was the quickest of that particular time, and the previous one was the quickest of each time, and so on, and the next Ramadan will pass like a flash of lightning. I remember very clearly, and I'm sure all of us do, last year this time we were in another Ramadan, and this Ramadan seemed so far. Today we are already halfway down this Ramadan, subhanallah. So what is it that we learn? We learn that opportunities come by and go, and these opportunities to turn to Allah are given by him. Many people think that Ramadan is connected to abstention from food, and that is it. Wallahi, that is a warped understanding of Ramadan. Warped. Because if we look at our lives, we don't even do that. We actually indulge in more eating. And I'm talking here of a lot of people, not everyone. More eating than the other months. And an evidence for that is, if you open your fridge in Ramadan, there's much more than there is in any other month. If you look at how much your food bill is just prior to Ramadan, you find you're buying more meat, more savories, and more stocking up, and more this, and ice creams, and mashallah, this and that, than any other month. So Ramadan to a lot of people is a month of food, let's be honest. Where did our deen go? What happened? Where suhoor is supposed to just be there for barakah. Where iftar is supposed to be something light. Yes, you are allowed to eat, obviously. But to indulge in food and to ask the women folk, we don't ask them directly, but our culture makes Ramadan a month where women waste so much time in the kitchen. Yes, it is an act of worship to prepare a meal, but we can't use that as an excuse to overdo it. Nowadays, hypocrisy has crept into our lives that we like the outside to be better than the inside. May Allah protect myself firstly, then everybody else. Even in food, you find a nice, good-looking dessert. Take one spoon and you know that this is not my business. But when you looked at it, it looked so sweet. It looked so good. Look at the pies. The pies, subhanallah, and I'm sorry to be talking about this at this time of lunch, but they look so attractive, yet when you take a bite in it, you realize that the meat inside is not that grand. Allah protect us. We need to start concerning ourselves with the core. With the core. That is the message I have today. And this message is more for myself than anybody else. I'm just thinking aloud, sharing whatever I'm reprimanding myself or reminding myself about with everybody else. We need to understand the month of Ramadan is a month of turning to Allah. Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This month is there in order for you to achieve piety. Piety is not just achieved by staying away from food and drink. No. That is only a part of it, a small portion of it. And if it is done correctly, then only we will achieve the piety out of that abstention from food and drink. But more than that, there are so many other ahadith which speak about seizing the month of Ramadan to make yourself a better person, a better person. Mainly by concentrating on the inner qualities that cannot be seen. Like I said, hypocrisy. May Allah protect myself and yourselves. We appear to be good Muslims, but our hearts sometimes are full of pride. That pride, nobody will be able to identify it besides ourselves with the mercy of Allah. If we associate with the correct company, that company that is able to openly reprimand us regarding certain habits that we have that would identify the pride in us and thereafter do something about it. Because if we look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is an interpretation of what pride is in Islam. Some people think pride is when someone is dressed well, when they've got a good car, a good house. That does not necessarily mean the man is proud or he has a lot of pride in him. It may be or it may not be. But the hadith says, بَطُرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. That is the definition of pride in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, to reject the truth and to despise people. Those are two things. If we have ever rejected the truth when it came to us, we are proud, we are arrogant. We join the ranks of Iblis. May Allah protect us. And I'm being blunt here. Why Iblis? Because that's the first crime committed, was rejection of the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Adam alayhi salam above Iblis and above everybody else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an instruction which was rejected. That rejection, Allah says, istakbara. He was too arrogant. That istikbar, that arrogance and that pride, the rejection of the truth, automatically leads to kufr. Because if somebody rejects the haq, where do they stand? They've got no standing. So it's important for us to surrender to what is right. If we find ourselves sinful, rather we admit that this is a sin and try to abstain. We should be abstaining completely, but if we admit it and commit it, it is on a slightly better level, or should I say a better level than justifying it and committing it. And there's a simple reason for that. When a person justifies smoking cigarettes, they will never ever eradicate the habit. They will never ever be able to help themselves because they are justifying it. They will encourage it and even promote it. And I'm giving you a simple habit which is actually an outward habit, not inside. But when a person knows what I'm doing is wrong, firstly, they won't smoke in public. They will feel guilty whenever a cigarette is in their hand. They're meeting someone, they throw it out. These are good signs. Then they will try and cut down. They'll feel embarrassed. They will know this is haram. They will try not to spend their wealth in this haram direction and so on. So it's better for us to know that this is wrong so that we can eradicate it. Whereas ideally, when we know something is wrong, we should surrender. Completely, immediately surrender. We will then only be able to taste the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of the times we speak of Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. This morning I got news that there was a tremor in Johannesburg. Only Allah knows exactly what happened. But that somebody sent me a link and that was in the news. What type of a tremor it was, only Allah knows. That tremor, who says it cannot happen here? And who says if it happens here, it will not be disastrous? It might just be, Allah protect myself and yourselves and all of us. It might just be a prelude to what is greater that is about to come. This morning I also read on the news that in Pakistan there are new areas that they are emptying out and flushing out fear of flooding. That is obviously something. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the minimum we can say. But the question is, do we feel secure sitting here? We need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we achieve it? Primarily by removing pride from our hearts. And one of the main ways or one of the main issues that need to be dealt with is the fact that we sometimes don't surrender to what is right. What we are told, the haq, the truth, the sharia, the ulama are in our midst, mashallah. We have been blessed in such a way that a lot of us don't even appreciate. Ulama on our streets, ulama in our midst, institutions of Islamic knowledge, all over, scattered all over the show. How much use have we made of them? And whenever we've heard something that comes from the ulama, we trust how many of us have taken heed. It's a question. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding. The second element that brings about pride is to despise people. The moment we think we are better than someone else, that is a sign of pride. I want to repeat that because it is serious. This is Ramadan. It's food for thought. This is the lunch we are having. In terms of spirituality, we need to inculcate within ourselves, commencing with myself. The minute I think I am better than anybody else, that is a sign of pride. Where do we get this from? The same Iblis, the father of all the devils. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iblis said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ I am better than Adam. That's it. So look at the two things he did. Istakbara, he rejected the truth and he felt he was better. That's exactly the explanation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Al-kibru, pride, is to reject the truth and to despise people, to think you're better and to belittle them. So when we talk about others, what type of names do we use? Wallahi, we need to change it. We need to use good names. Sometimes behind people's backs, good people are guilty of using nicknames that are unacceptable. Good people are guilty of using nicknames that are unacceptable. And then we have a verse in Surah Al-Hujurat which says, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ Do not call each other such nicknames. And what happens to that verse? We become oblivious of it conveniently. And then we say, no, but that's what he is. That's the nickname we use for him. Wallahi, sometimes maybe I may also be guilty of that. May Allah safeguard my tongue and yours as well. We hope not. Meaning we hope we are not guilty of that. But we need to make the dua. So it's important we realize these small things that we consider small are actually big in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain items in the Quran. He says, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ Sometimes we think certain things are minor, but in the eyes of Allah, it's major, it's something very big. When Aisha radiallahu anha commented about Safiyyah bint Huyay radiallahu anha, that she was a little bit short, a very, very, mashallah, the mother of the believers, both of them, mothers of the believers, may Allah be pleased upon all of them and us as well. But very pious people we're talking about, the comment was, she's a bit short. Now, for me and you, that's not even a bad comment. That's how we have become. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went red in his face and he says, Ya Aisha, the statement that came out of your mouth, if it was in the form of a droplet put into the ocean, it would change the color of the ocean. Imagine, she is short. How many of us are guilty, really, of having these qualities? Then we want to come into Ramadan and exit Ramadan, thinking, mashallah, we've achieved so many fasts and we've achieved forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He forgive us. It's very, very important on a daily basis. And wallahi, this is a plea. And it's a cry and it's a call, commencing with myself and then everybody else. It's very important on a daily basis to check the condition of our heart, wallahi. That heart can take us to Jannah or Jahannam. How many ahadith we have of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wherein he has explained that there are people who do good deeds for so many years and right at the end the condition of the heart changes and then they go to Jahannam. And another person doing bad deeds right up to for 70 years and after that the condition of the heart changes, they do a good deed and die on that and they enter Jannah. We know these ahadith. I'm sure we've heard them a lot of times. But that may be me or you, we hope we are the better and not the worse. And this is why I never underestimate someone. When we see a person who's a drunkard, we make dua for him, rather than gossip about him. The moment we go around saying we saw a drunkard, we've taken his sin away, gone. Because that is ghibah, that is backbiting. So someone might say, but I've spoken the truth. We all know that ghibah is when you speak the truth about somebody behind their backs, in such a way that they wouldn't like it. And the hadith says it's worse than committing adultery. And to be honest with you, I've heard one of my own mashayikh saying that we are in the age of ghiba, that's why we are in the age of adultery as well. Allah protect us. We are in the age of ghiba. Age of ghiba means even the good from amongst us justify that, you know, no, I'm justified in saying this because of X, Y and Z. That is why when we check the qualities of our heart in a proper manner, with correct mentorship, we will come to understand that min husni islami al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. A sign of a good Muslim is that he leaves what does not concern him. Automatically he will not engage in the lives of others. Because one of the biggest ways of losing your good deeds and mine is when we engage in the lives of others, be it true or false, that which we are not supposed to be engaging in. If it is true, we lost all our a'mal. We lost all our good deeds to them. When we are backbiting about someone, say for example, someone saw someone else, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection. Let's give an example, entering a nightclub. And they happen to go around the village saying that this person entered the nightclub. So everybody says this man is on drugs and he's entered the nightclub, and we have seen that. That is shaitan's statement. With that, you already lost possibly, and I'm just putting a figure at it, maybe a month of salah in the first saf. Already lost, gone. And after that, everybody who spreads that tale, each one gets an equal sin for it, because the hadith speaks about it. Whoever starts a bad trend, everyone in the chain continues to get the evil sin, and it goes back to the first one every time. So anyone who spreads that tale, the source of it is getting the same crime or the sin until Qiyamah, according to the hadith. Even after they've died. And this is why we know the a'mal of Banu Adam, when a person passes away, the deeds are stopped. But there are certain deeds that continue. Certain deeds, and there is this exception that is made in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who have set a good example continue. It's called a sadaqah jariyah. The sadaqatun jariyah is an exception in the hadith. You do a good deed, people follow it. That's one method of sadaqah jariyah, or knowledge. And the opposite would apply in the sense that if someone has had a bad example that they've laid, anyone who learned from it will continue to get that sin. So this is where we fall, because shaitan now, sometimes he knows that I cannot come to them outwardly. When shaitan comes to us, he can't come to us in the form of a person that we now know this is shaitan. Otherwise we would stay far from him. We would take our guns and shoot him. Every time we seen him, it would be, that's what we would do. So shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Him and his army, they see you from a position where you don't see them. Which means they come in disguise. They come in the form of thoughts. They come in the form of various other, you know, ideas that are inculcated in us. This is why it's important to identify the devil within, because that is what will make us better people. And I've only spoken today about pride. Pride is one of the biggest sins. It is the source of all other evil, to be honest. And that is from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it, because the definition of pride is when you despise people. If a man has the best car in town, and the best home in town, and he dresses the smartest in town, but he does not despise people, and he is there, he always accepts the truth when it comes in his direction. That is a sign he is not proud, he is not arrogant. Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu was loaded, if I can use that word. He was wealthy, so wealthy that I think none of us would be able to match even the clothing that he wore. May Allah grant us understanding. Those were the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They did not have an iota of kibr, of pride in them. Not a drop of it, not even a droplet. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability in this month of Ramadan to check the condition of our hearts. As we say, despising people, talking bad about them. We disrespect people when we talk to them, when we address them, no matter who they are, no matter how they have spoken to you. You don't know their connection with Allah. You don't know the connection of the one who works for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man who might be the darkest of the dark, wallahi there is a chance that he could be a friend of Allah, wali min awliya illahi azza wa jal. And then we go and despise them, tata law, enza law, these things are not good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And I've said it as it is. We need to treat them with dignity. We need to treat them with respect. We need to understand not only those who work for us, but even our partners, the others, our children, the children of others. Sometimes in the masjid at the back, you find children making noise. Yes, it happens. That noise was a test from Allah to see the arrogance maybe in my heart and yours. How do we go up to them and address the problem? Pick up our sleeves and give them one smack and then go back to the saf? Is that how we achieved the breaking of the fast in Ramadan? And this is why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which glares us in the face every Ramadan, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and by now we should be knowing this hadith off by heart. He says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Whoever does not leave false witness, evil deeds, the engaging in anything evil and bad mouthing and so on, whilst fasting, Allah does not need the fact that they've abstained from their food and drink. The hadith says, كَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ. How many people, the hadith is saying, how many people fast but achieve nothing from the fast besides hunger and thirst? How many? The hadith is telling us this. The question I have is, I hope it's not me. And we need to be worried. Don't worry about the next man. Worry about yourself. We are so sinful that if we are concerned truly about ourselves, a sign that it is heading in a right direction is that we will not have time to worry about others. طوبى لمن شغله عيبه عن عيوب الناس. طوبى is a place in Jannah. Give good news of Jannah to a person whose own weaknesses occupies them from engaging in the weaknesses of others. We are so weak, we need constant panel beating. Constant panel beating. Our vehicle cannot leave the panel beaters. Never. We need it. No, none of us can say, right, I'm sitting with my own vehicle and here I am moving. I'm now sitting happy. Because there is room for improvement no matter how strict we've become on ourselves. So the hadith says, give good news of Jannah for those who occupy themselves with their own bad deeds, and that stops them from talking about others. Talking about them, whether true or false, is another issue. And the other hadith that I mentioned, let me end it for you. The hadith says, وَكَمْ مِنْ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا التَّعَبُ وَالسَّهَرُ. How many people stand up in Taraweeh, in the evenings, in Ramadan, but they achieve nothing besides getting tired and lack of sleep? They should have rather gone to their beds and gone to sleep. Because of many reasons, sometimes you have people who stand lazily. That's a sign of hypocrisy. إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا. Allah says the hypocrites, when they stand for salah, they stand lazily. They don't want to stand. It's like they're doing Allah a favor. Let's check the condition of our hearts when we are reading Salatul Taraweeh. May Allah not make us from those who stand thinking that I just need to get this thing done as a chore because I need to be here. That's all. Let's do it out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's do it out of the love of Allah to say, Ya Allah, even if this takes 2 hours, alhamdulillah. Even if it takes 1 hour, alhamdulillah. We're not worried about when we finish and how we finish. We want to fulfill a duty to our Creator, subhanallah. That's the love of Allah we need to inculcate in our hearts. It's very, very important that we realize this. We don't want to be from those who stand. As it is, we are going to stand. But you stand and you've wasted it. Like we tell people, you are going for Hajj. You'd rather make the most of it and promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are never going to go back to the sins you've committed. Last night I made mention of something, and the lesson is for myself as well as all of you. What is the sign of an accepted Hajj? It's clear. It's a clear-cut sign. You can see it, you can feel it, but you alone know it. What is a sign of an accepted Ramadan? Very clear. It's very clear. And I'd like to end my message with this. If you would like to know if your Hajj is accepted, simple test. When you return, if your life has changed completely, your Hajj is accepted. Straight. If it hasn't, your farad is fulfilled, but you haven't achieved what you are supposed to from the Hajj. Because the hadith says if you fulfill Hajj properly, رَجْعَكَ يَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, you get back as pure as the day you were born. That's why, you know, a time back, now we see we're cutting it out, but a time back we used to call everybody Haji. Once they go for Hajj, we say hey, Haji Sab, and so on. I'm sure we know the term. Now the young people, I think it's a bit less. That title is good, because it constantly reminds you, hey, me, I made Hajj. So no more swearing, no more cheating, no more deceiving. If there's a discrepancy of 5 rands this way, that way, rather be against me than for me, I'm saved. Wallahi, it's a reality. So to live as a Haji, to be constantly reminded that you are a haji is a blessing, and to live as a haji is a million times more difficult than to fulfill the haji. Fulfilling hajj, everybody can do it. If Allah accepts you to go, mashallah. So many people are going. Every year people are going. Some people go every year. But we must be from amongst those who know that, Ya Allah, I've changed my life. So many bad habits are out. They kicked out. I no longer smoke. I no longer a person maybe on drugs or this, that. Everything is left. Everything is gone. Allah loves you. It's a sign that Allah has accepted you to go for hajj in order to promise and pledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dedicate that allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to change our ways. Allah gave us the opportunity of hajj. Every year we have the opportunity of Ramadan. Allah says, whoever fasts properly, whoever stands in taraweeh properly with iman and ihtisab, we've heard the hadith, I'm sure we know it off by heart, will have all their sins completely forgiven. When you start with a new slate, how do you start? You don't want to make mistakes. So if a person has a slate where they constantly make those mistakes again and again, it means it's not a new slate. It's not a new slate. If you are told today, look, you've made all business blunders and you've made this in your life and that in your life and that mistake, we want to give you a totally new beginning. For you to repeat the same blunders or for me to do that, it shows we are foolish. When you're given a clean slate, you start with a new pen. Even a child given a new exercise book wants to open the exercise book and write neatly on the first page. I'm sure we all know that. It happens with all of us. You get a good pen and on the cover you want to write nicely. Not that now you got a new book, the same way you made mistakes in the old one, you come and copy all those mistakes again. Wallahi, that's what we are doing in our lives. Every Ramadan, we get a new Ramadan. It comes to us. It's a gift of Allah. We may never see the end of this Ramadan. We may never ever see another Ramadan. We may never see it. So how are we making use of this Ramadan? If we exit the month of Ramadan and we feel that our lives have changed, it's a sign of acceptance that the Ramadan was qabool, bi-idhnillah. May Allah grant us acceptance. If not, maybe we fulfilled our farad, but we achieved nil. Like the hadith says, people may have fulfilled their farad, but they didn't achieve anything besides tiredness and lack of sleep, and besides hunger and thirst. We don't want to be those. Now when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says something like this, we need to analyze it and ask ourselves, which boat do we go into? Or do we fit into? Are we in any of those? If that is the case, wallahi, it is time to change. And this is why we need to love one another. You see, the Sharia has taught us this love, this mahabba. We need to love one another for the pleasure of Allah. The man might have wronged you as a human being a bit here and there. You solve the problem, resolve the matter. You don't hate a fellow Muslim. There must be no space in our hearts to hate a fellow Muslim. There can't be. One of the signs of a jannati person, a person who will be going to paradise, is that they have no ghil in their heart. They have no hatred in their heart for a fellow Muslim, nothing. When you see someone, mashallah, beard, with a topi, with a hat, trying to read salah, you tell Allah, Ya Allah, I'm worse than this person in whatever way. And Ya Allah, I love this person because they also trying to achieve the same thing. You know, sometimes when you are embarking on a journey, let me give you one simple example. Say you want to cycle up from here to Hajj. Say you want to cycle from here going to Hajj. And you find out that there's another 20 people who have the same intention. What is it best for you to do? To team up. Agree? You team up because now you can go together. Your aim is all the same. So you can assist one another in achieving that. So one man, he has a blowout. Everybody stops and they assist him. Now, that is the path to Makkah. What about the path to Jannah? How many common people do we have who want to also go? We have all the people sitting in this masjid today listening to what we have to say, whether here or at the receivers or whatever it is. We all want to head on that direction in our little bicycles or in our cars or whatever. So let's team up. Alhamdulillah. I love everybody because everybody wants to achieve the same goal I want. Let's assist one another. When I have a blowout, I don't expect people to drive away and say, that man's got a blowout, 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 laugh at him, mock at him, spread around that the man's got a blowout. I expect people to come and say, let's help you change your tire. Subhanallah. And the same applies to everyone. This is when the world becomes a better place. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum got to a higher level, the highest level of cleanliness of interior. What was that level? It was known as al-itharu fi darurat. Subhanallah. They used to give preference to others, but not just preference to others. You know what is the meaning of preference to others? For example, there's a parking. And we see this happening a lot at Macro and Pick and Pay and wherever else. There's a parking slot and you're waiting to go into it, and the man comes out and suddenly a Muslim brother goes into that parking, knowing that you're waiting for it. So you are supposed to be in there, but he's gone in and he looks out at you and he actually waves and he carries on. Like he's done you a favor, mashallah. He stole your parking. Now, if you were a person who saw maybe an elderly person and told them, look, I need the parking, but never mind, you go in and you find a different parking, that is called giving preference to them. I'm giving you a very simple example. But that is not a big deal. The big deal is when it's a question of life and death and you can still give it away. Subhanallah. That's where the Sahaba got to. Radiallahu anhum jami'an. May Allah be pleased with them and grant us even a droplet of what He granted them. They had water. One needed a sip in order to survive. And he saw another one in need of similar water in order to survive. So he handed it. Subhanallah. Now where are we and where is this? Where are we and where is that example? And the man lost his life. And the second one saw that the third one needed it. And he was about to lose his life, a sip of water. He handed it. He also lost his life. Subhanallah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the difference between them and us. 100 people would sacrifice their lives to build the life of one. With us, 100 people cannot sleep because they want to know how to destroy the life of everybody else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change our condition. This is Ramadan. These are the things we are supposed to be thinking about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to love one another. No matter what muck a person is in, the fact that they have a shahada in it, we love that shahada. We love the good they are doing. We will assist them where they have a blown tire, and we will try to recognize the thorns in our tire that are going to cause a blowout 2 meters down the line. Because all of us have a lot of room for improvement, beginning with myself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open my doors and yours. This is the month of pondering. It's the month of reflection. Let us exit this month having transformed ourselves completely. Make use of the mentors in your midst, the ulama who are there to identify the problems that you may have internally as well. The ulama who are there to constantly bombard in the right direction, because we need this bombing off of shayateen within. And it's very important for us to make use of all the Islamic activity that is happening around us. We see where we fit in and make sure we plug in solid so that the current can constantly come into our machine, the current of this deen and the current of spirituality. We don't want to lose out until we meet again. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.